friends, welcome to the Sensory Project Show. We are so happy you're here and hope you're ready to learn a lot this episode. Grab a pen and a paper because you definitely want to take notes.
We're going to be chatting about executive functioning and what it looks like, as well as some really awesome activities to incorporate to help your child improve their executive functioning skills.
Are y'all ready for this?
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about what is executive functioning.
So executive functioning is a set of cognitive skills to manage life.
So these are basically the things...
That's a big statement. To manage life.
Yeah, so these are the things that you use. You don't even realize you're using these skills, but you're using them every day to get up and know what to do in the morning and to drive to work or to school or whatever it is that you do. These are all those different skills. And for our kids... These are the skills that they use to get up and go and do their life, their day. So executive functioning skills have been broken down into a list, basically. And so we're going to rapid fire this list of what these skills really are.
Okay. All right. So the first one is inhibition. So that is the powerful impulse control.
Then we have shift. And this is the ability to have attention between different tasks, as well as flexible thinking.
Oh man.
That's a hard one.
The next one is emotional control. So that is the ability to have rational thought to feelings. So if your kiddo is having a hard time regulating their emotions, they're having breakdowns and meltdowns, that falls under this section.
Then we have initiation, and this is the ability to begin and execute a task. So can your child get up and go brush their teeth without being cued? Mm-hmm. That's initiation.
The next one is working memory. So this is being able to hold and recall information. So think about your address, your phone number. These are really important numbers and information and pieces of information to be able to hold.
And the tricky thing with that one, too, is that you have to be able to pull that information out and use it at the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
definitely
part of that. Then we have planning and organization, and this is being able to manage current and future tasks or demands.
Yeah, so this has a lot to do with school.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Mm-hmm. Same with this next one, which is organization of materials. So being able to maintain organization in different environments and tasks. So think about packing having your kiddo pack their backpack at school, know what they need to bring home in order to get their homework done, and then packing the things in their backpack to take to school the next day, things like that.
It's a lot.
It is.
Okay, and the last one is going to be self-monitoring. And this is the ability to identify your own performance and measure it against expectations or others or a standard expectation.
So this is one that we use a lot in therapy to identify how well a kiddo did with a task, how they feel they did with a task, and what they feel like they can improve next time doing the same task.
Yeah, and it's a really good... It can be a really good activity.
Mm-hmm. In itself.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so then let's move on to what you're going to see if your child has executive functioning deficits or challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to note that all of these issues that we're talking about, when we say there's executive functioning challenges, we mean that it's happening consistently, all the time. It's not just every once in a while, like your child forgot to pack their lunch that one day because they were super tired. It's an everyday occurrence.
And you're having to cue them over and over and over again to brush their teeth in the morning, get their socks on, get their shoes on. And it's
every single day.
as a parent, you might be feeling frustrated because they're not picking up on it and they're not getting it.
And it'll probably seem behavioral because that's how these kind of things work, is that there's this challenge and then it becomes a behavior. So
we will chat about some of our favorite activities and ways to help these things in a little bit.
Okay, so these are just some of the, like, main things that you might see if your child struggles with executive functioning.
Yeah.
They're going to have really poor impulse control, so they're going to take action without thinking about it.
And they're not able to control those actions. They're not able to process through what might happen if I do this. That's a hard one.
Yep. They're going to have really poor attention to tasks, and this can include preferred tasks, like things that they enjoy doing. They're still going to have really poor attention to it.
They might have rigid thinking in a variety of different situations. So they might not be able to use their flexible thinking skills in order to understand what someone else might be thinking or how their behavior is affecting other people or affecting the situation negatively.
They might not be able to move past a topic. Like, they're going to want to talk about the same thing over and over again and not move past to something else. There's going to be outbursts over quote unquote nothing. And I did the little air quotes because to them, of course, it seems like something, but it's something that the rest of us are going to look at and say, oh, that was really small problem, but the child just had a big reaction to it because they're struggling with executive functioning.
Yep, and going on that one, they might be unable to identify their emotions in different situations. So when they're feeling angry, they might think that they're sad, or if they're feeling frustrated, they might say, no, I'm angry, and different things like that.
I know.
At least you have a voice.
Rough. They're going to be unable to start a task. Even if they've been taught the task, they know what the task is, they're not going to be able to take that first step to do it independently.
So when we say they know how to do it, they can motor plan the task. They are capable of doing it.
You've seen them do it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they can't initiate on their own.
That first step is hard. And then they're also going to struggle to follow steps to complete a task. And this can be a familiar task, so like a daily routine task, but it could also be something where maybe an older child is following written or picture instructions.
Or even auditory instructions.
Or auditory instructions for like a recipe or to make a project. And they just can't follow those sequential steps to put it all together.
The next one is they won't be able to remember simple details or steps to complete a task. They might overlook the small details, such as needing to sharpen their pencil in order to write, or to change a pencil to find one that has an eraser, things like
that. Those are good examples.
Thank you.
They're not going to be able to organize their daily life tasks. So they won't be able to organize their materials in the bathroom to get ready for the day. Or, as Rachel mentioned earlier, they're not going to be able to organize their school materials. And this can also be related to chores in the house. They aren't going to be able to get the things that they need to wipe the counter or dust or vacuum and clean up afterwards and put it all away.
Yeah, and they're probably going to have a messy room, a messy desk. Their backpack is going to be in complete disarray.
And they're going to have trouble organizing it when they're asked to.
They're not going to know what to do.
Yes.
They're going to be like, well, it is organized.
Yeah, they can't even. Yeah, maybe they can't even see that it's messy.
They're like, well, I know where everything is.
That's a little bit of me, not going to lie. I'm like, my room might look messy to you, but I know where each little thing is.
Yes.
And then going along with that, they're probably going to lose their homework. They're not going to be able to turn it in on time. It's going to be really challenging for them to stay organized with schoolwork.
And they might not even turn in their homework. They might start it, shove it in their desk, and then forget about it.
And you find it 3 months later.
Or maybe they even complete their homework, but they don't turn it in.
Yeah. That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to plan ahead for events or tasks. So this goes to like schoolwork, so planning ahead for an assignment or planning ahead for a play date with a friend. This is a big one. You know, they want to hang out with their friends, but they can't make a plan to say, okay, I'm going to talk to them and then I'm going to talk to mom and then they're going to talk to their mom and then we're going to set it up. They can't plan that.
And they also can't complete tasks in a timely manner. And this is huge because you have to be able to get your teeth brushed in the morning in 2 minutes or less so you can make the bus. And you have to be able to get your homework done in the amount of time that your, or even an assignment done in the amount of time that your teacher gives you. I mean, think about us as adults. Our boss gives us a task and gives us a due date and we have to get it done. So
you
we
have to manage that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, we talked about this a little bit when we were going over the different skills, but they're not going to be able to identify if they are doing well or if they're falling behind. And this, I really think, relates to those older kiddos who maybe they're playing sports or they're taking a test and they don't, they can't, like, see and visualize what their performance is like, whether it's compared to others or just compared to themselves, even from last year, you know, to see if they're doing better than last year or compared to their peers.
I see this a lot when kids have too high of expectations for themselves and we present a task to them, such as jumping jacks, and they can't do it. And they shut down and they refuse to try because they weren't good at it the first time they tried it. Things like that where they have these unrealistic expectations for themselves for an unknown reason. We don't know why.
And they probably can't even verbalize why.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what can OTs do to help your kiddo improve their executive functioning skills?
So these are going to be things that OTs will do in the clinic setting or during their treatment sessions, but also things that they're going to suggest for you to do at home. And so a big one.
One of our favorites.
Visual schedules. Incorporating it into the home life, into school life. Visual schedules are huge for kids with executive functioning challenges.
And there are so many different visual schedules you can incorporate. If you go back and listen to episode 4, we talk about all the different types of visual schedules and you can kind of pick and choose which one you want to implement. Just make sure that you try it consistently for 2 to 3 weeks. And if it's not helping, then modify it.
Change it. Yeah, definitely.
And even, sorry, even talk to your child's teacher about implementing this at school as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be huge. And talk to your child and see if your child has a preference on if it's a picture visual schedule, if it's a list, like a written list, a checkbox, dry erase. Like, your child's probably going to have preferences on what they want to use.
Yeah, and so if they help create the visual schedule, then they're going to be more inclined to use it as well.
Definitely. In the clinic setting, there's a lot of different activities that work on these executive functioning skills. And one of my favorites is using a metronome. And I think we've talked about it a little bit before, but a metronome helps with processing speed. It helps with auditory processing, timing and sequencing. And then when you can incorporate the gross motor movements with a metronome, it just, it has such a huge impact on the brain that it has amazing results.
Yeah, I love metronomes. We actually did a Therapy Thursday video just including some simple
clapping patterns. We did clapping patterns, right? That's right. And it's tricky, you guys. If I remember that video correctly, I struggled with getting my timing down with my clapping. And so it can be tricky, but it's so fun and it's so beneficial.
Another thing that therapists can do in the clinic consists of multisensory tasks. So what we mean by multisensory is that you are incorporating multiple senses into one activity. So you could think of your visual system, your vestibular system, and your auditory system all working together in order to create a task or to complete a task. And the benefits of these activities is they increase attention, multitasking, so the ability to shift, impulse control, working memory, and so much more.
Just all of them. Mm-hmm. I think all of these really do work on all of the different skills within executive functioning.
Yeah.
Because they're so, again, multisensory. Anytime you're including more than one sense, it's going to just drive home that, I don't know.
Higher level functioning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. So memory strategies. This one's a big one because memory strategies obviously work on working memory, but it's also going to help with attention and organization. And that's a big one. So memory strategies can be incorporated into the home life and school life.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about looking at, or if you think about reading an instruction on the top of the worksheet, and then you have to go down and you have to maybe find or answer the question, being able to hold that thought in your brain and then being able to go find it, or maybe you look in the index of a book and you have to remember the page number, being able to hold that information for a short amount of time in order to be successful with the task. That's that short-term working memory, being able to hold it there and then pull it out when you need it.
Yeah, and so some different strategies that you can use would be self-talk is a big one. Mm-hmm. And so self-talk, when we are like whispering to ourselves or we say it over and over in our head, can be a really simple strategy. So the biggest memory strategy that you can use with your child are mnemonic devices. And there's a couple of different ways that you use those, but they're memory strategies. Mm-hmm. It just is a funny name, mnemonic device.
Yeah.
And so we'll link some of those in the show notes, but these can be simple things like creating a picture in your head or coming up with a silly sentence to remember a list. So I think a really good example is like remembering the planets.
Yep.
Of the mm-hmm. solar system. It's like my very something mother gave us pizza or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, I can't remember it right now.
It's not working very well for you.
But that's a really good example of a mnemonic device. So different strategies, and each kid learns differently. Mm-hmm. So different memory strategies are going to work for different children.
Yeah. The next one is a daily to-do list for improving organization with schoolwork. So you could think about maybe using a planner with the older kiddos. If they aren't able to write down everything they need to, you could have the teacher maybe give them a list to copy so they can copy what they need to put into their planner, or you can have a journal going back and forth between school and home, so that way you can make sure that you're checking off everything that the kiddo is writing down.
I really like that one.
Making sure that everything gets done.
Plus, then you have really good communication mm-hmm. with your child's school to work as a team. So I like that one. Repetition is huge. We learn best through practice and doing it multiple times. So repetition is really, really huge mm-hmm. and not giving up.
And then also just explaining to your kiddos, if they have really high expectations for themselves, explaining that and using it as an example and say, you know what? I didn't get good at playing soccer my first time I did it. I practiced and I practiced. And if you think about playing the piano, if your kiddo is taking piano lessons, so they're not going to get better if they just do the lessons once a week. They have to practice every single day in order to get better.
True that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about our favorite things that you guys can do at home to help your child improve executive functioning skills.
And this is kind of a side note, but it kind of goes along. If you saw the Instagram post that I did on the sensory project, it was talking about the therapeutic benefits of snow.
Oh, yes.
You guys have to remember that these are all games and these are simple activities that you probably are doing already, and you're working on these skills. So you don't have to consciously think, okay, we are going to take this amount of time to work on our home exercise program. If you just incorporate these games into play, you are working on these skills, whether you like it or not. So keep that in mind.
whether you like it or not. Yeah, but she's right. Rachel's right. Children learn through play. And so all the different games and activities that we suggest, you just want to turn it into a game if it's not already a game, mm-hmm. of course. But yeah. Just play games. Yeah.
It's that easy.
It is. Okay, here's a good one. Hide and seek.
Oh, yes.
So hide and seek is a good one to work on attention, mm-hmm. impulse control.
Sequencing.
Any sort of game that's going to include imitation or copying. Mm-hmm. So like follow the leader, Simon Says, even red light, green light kind of.
I love red light, you know? Green light.
Those are all really good ones to work on impulse control, to work on attention. I mean, these all work on attention, yeah. of course. But shift, this is going to be a good one to work on shift between different parts of the task.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So the next one is an interactive song. So some of our favorites, Itsy Bitsy Spider, The Wheels on the Bus.
Oh, that one's a good one.
Five Green and Speckled Frogs. Mm-hmm.
Five Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. There are so many fun interactive songs and ways to get your kiddo imitating and interacting and participating and engaging with you. And you should be singing to your kiddo every day, regardless of how old they are.
I mean, and regardless of whether you think you can sing or not. You guys, here's the deal. I am a horrible singer. I cannot hold a tune to save my life. But if I sing a song with a kid, they don't care. All they are thinking about is there's a rhythm, there's a beat, this is fun because she's singing loud and exciting and there's movement. Kids love it, okay? It doesn't matter if you're a good singer or not. The kid is going to love it.
The other therapists in the room
are going to love it.
This is an ongoing joke. We always like to give Jessica a hard time.
But for real, singing to your kids. Oh my gosh. So, so important. Singing to your infants. I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but music and movement are amazing ways to increase attention and brain function and auditory processing and just everything.
There's a lot of research on the benefits of music and how it promotes development and social skills and everything that Jessica just said. So it's not just us being on a tangent. It is research-based that it's beneficial.
Yes. Oh, and really quick too. So all of these interactive songs, a big thing that they're going to work on is that working memory piece.
Oh, yes.
Especially if you're doing it, you know, if you've done it before, can your child remember what comes next?
Or what action goes with what part of the Wheels on the Bus?
Yes.
So what are their arms supposed to do with the wipers?
Yes. Oh, Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes was another one.
Oh, yes.
That is such a good one. That's and that was so fun. One. The Hokey Pokey. I just thought of that one too.
The Macarena.
Oh my gosh. We could go on and on. There's so many. Man. Okay, moving on.
So another one going along with dancing is the game Freeze Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Or musical chairs or musical anything. Hullabaloo.
Twister moves. Didn't we talk about that in another episode where you have the CD and you have your twister board that you're standing on and you're following the music to do your dance moves? Dance Dance Revolution.
Hyper Dash.
Oh my gosh. Hyper Dash. Go get that game for Christmas.
All right. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so let's move on to the next section. So these include sorting games for little kiddos. You're putting the shape container or the shape pieces into the right shapes. You're matching those pieces.
Matching colors, matching pictures. So the memory card game is a really good one.
Yes.
That one's really big for that working and visual memory piece, attention, mm-hmm. impulse control.
Card games.
Any sort of card game.
All the card games. Uno, Spot It, Lucky Seven,
even just with a regular deck of cards. Yeah. Like, there's so many different games. Oh, my gosh. Spoons is one of my favorites for sure.
Yes.
So all those different card games.
Learning to shuffle, learning to deal. Those are important skills.
Yes. Dealing out cards to a group of people to play a game is a really challenging skill to learn, but it's also an important skill to learn.
Absolutely. So. If you stop and think about all the things that go into shuffling and dealing cards.
You've got hand strength.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, isn't an executive functioning skill, but.
True. You also have, you know, sequencing, being able to know who goes first when you're dealing the cards out.
Attention and impulse control.
Knowing how many cards, keeping track, so that working memory, track of how many cards you've dealt to each person.
Definitely. It's great.
Yeah. Ooh, 20 questions.
Oh, 20 questions and headbands. Mm-hmm. Oh, 20 questions is super fun. And 20 questions, let me just say this, is a really good game to play during road trips.
Yes. Actually, no, there's a lot of games that you probably played growing up. The one where you say, I'm going to grandma's house, I'm going to bring an apple. And the next person says, I'm going to grandma's house and I'm bringing an apple and a banana. So that alphabet tracking. Oh,
that's
love
tricky.
Love that one.
Yes, that's a really good working memory game.
Yes. Okay. Another one. I Spy.
Oh, I do like all the I Spy games.
And not just, you know, a card game or a board game. Playing I Spy within different environments.
Ooh, I spy something.
No, it's I spy with my little eyes.
Oh, okay.
You have to use the whole
I thing. Spy with my little eyes something brown.
Oh, and is it a chair?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, I spy is a great one. Definitely. Oh, love it. Okay, jumping rope. So just regular old jump rope is a really good one, but also Chinese jump rope. And if you've never heard of that, go look it up right now because it's so fun.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
It's so hard, but it's so exciting.
We will
exciting.
Link to it also in our show notes.
So exciting.
So you guys can find it. The next one, all the musical instruments.
Yeah, we just talked about music and how important music is. So for your kiddos who are a little bit older, let's throw them into some music lessons. Even if they only do it for a year.
Yeah.
It's going to have huge benefits that are lasting.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Puzzle games such as crossword puzzles, Sudoku puzzles.
Sudoku?
Oh, Sudoku.
I was just sounding it out. Sudoku?
Sure. However you say
it's
it.
It's the weirdest name.
We apparently don't know how to say it. But you know it's the number game. There you go.
There's also kid versions. And this is one of the things that I love is that you can find different Sudoku versions that don't include numbers.
Yeah.
Right? So it breaks it down
colors
to like colors.
Or pictures or animals.
Yes. So your younger child can do that problem solving and that planning and that just those executive functioning skills.
Yep. Also, if your kid is in sports or ballet or gymnastics, I guess gymnastics is a sport, but I'm thinking like the little gym.
Oh, little gym
those
is good.
Different gymnastics courses. Your kiddo is working on executive functioning skills when they're playing those sports.
Every time, yes. It's such a great thing for them.
Yeah.
And then yoga. I mean, I feel like that kind of goes along with sports. But anytime you're doing any yoga, and we've talked about this one before, the
Yogarilla,
Cosmic Kids Yoga.
Oh, yes.
Where they're doing those different body positions. Those are going to work on those executive functioning skills.
Mm-hmm.
And again, making it fun. Your kids are going to love it.
Yeah. And then with older kiddos, to kind of work on those, what's the word?
School-based skills.
The school-based skills. You can talk about setting goals. What goals do you want to accomplish this week, this month, this year?
That's
you
a good one.
You can kind of facilitate self-talk. So working through challenges by saying, I've got this. I can do this. I mean, we all do that.
Yes, we do every day.
Sometimes you have to teach that skill.
Absolutely, you do. With our kiddos who struggle with executive functioning, you do have to teach them how to work through those tasks and how to be self-motivated.
Mm-hmm. Journaling and self-monitoring.
This is a really, really good one. If your child struggles with handwriting, but they know how to type, then they can do this through typing. But journaling is so amazing because it's really going to just give them an idea of what's in their head, mm-hmm. what they're thinking, what they're feeling. Even if it's just they're, you know, writing down the things that happened that day, it's going to provoke those thoughts and those feelings, and then they can work through those.
Absolutely. And then you can also practice study skills.
And this, I think this is something that you need to do whether your child struggles with executive functioning or not, because study skills, I don't feel like those really come all that natural for most people.
I remember in college I had to take a class that taught me, that was supposed to teach me study skills, how to be successful in college. So if you think about, we're required to take those classes in college. That's a really important skill if they're making that an entire college course.
Definitely.
So prep those kiddos before they get to that point and teach them how to be successful with studying.
And if you're not sure how to teach your child how to learn study skills, then that can be an amazing journey for you to go through. Mm-hmm. And if your child's a little bit older, then you can go through it together.
Definitely.
And then it becomes a bonding experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hope that these were helpful and you guys have a good idea of how maybe you're already incorporating these skills to improve executive functioning, or maybe how to incorporate these activities going forward. But there you go.
That was it.
That
was so fast. Mm-hmm. I love our fast episodes. I really do.
Yes,
I feel like we just like get you guys the info and we're out.
If you guys have any additional questions or comments or concerns, feel free to shoot us an email or DM us
on Instagram.
Instagram, Facebook. We are happy to connect with you. And if you guys try any of these activities, please share that with us.
And tag us. Yes. I love seeing those. So fun. Yes. Leave us a review on iTunes. We really like seeing your guys' reviews and your comments. And then next week, we are going to talk about bilateral integration.
Yes. So until then,
see you later.
Bye. So excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.